The new Poltergeist remake. Will it stand a ghost of a chance?
Oh,
will
God.
We say yay or boo? Now you'll find out in your unusual review.
I quit.
I think they might possibly
be here.
Be not yet.
We waited that whole goddamn movie to see him, and they never showed up.
Yeah, guys, we tested this out. We agreed we weren't going to do it. You lied to me. You lied.
Yeah, I thought we were going to go with the Crypt Keeper, but I guess
you guys work out a whole sketch beforehand.
Well, you don't have a bone to pick with me. Oh my God, please, can we do the entire review as the Crypt Keeper?
I can redo the beginning that way with the puns.
Okay, let's redo it.
Stand the ghost of a chance.
You know what, editorial change, I like it. It improved it.
We are the Unusual Suspects. I'm Chris.
JC.
I'm Joe.
Ashley.
Bo.
Sarah.
And we are reviewing the remake of Poltergeist, directed by Gil Keenan, who, a name you may not recognize, but he did the wonderful Monster House, if you ever got a chance to see a terrific movie, and the apparently just okay City of Amber, which I never saw. I heard kind of mixed stuff
about shooting it. For just okay is pretty good at this point.
I mean, this is from Sam Raimi's production company, Ghost House Productions, which is not always known for the best quality of its horror
films. They sure have the best quality title cards, though, let me tell you what.
That's what I said to Bo when we were watching this. Like, do we get to review the title cards? Because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they went all out.
Blumhouse Production still has it for me. The best title card opening, to be sure. But either way, the idea here from the original Toby Hooper... I'm sorry, did I say Toby Hooper? I meant Steven Spielberg. Oh, no, wait, I meant Toby Hooper.
You think you mean to say that, but you are contractually obliged to say otherwise.
About a family whose suburban home gets taken over by really pissed off ghosts and abduct their youngest one. Who, by the way, in this movie, the little girl playing this role...
It's brunette. What, a gyp? It's a gyp.
But I'm sorry, her face looks exactly like the original.
Well, she's probably the reincarnation, because as you know, that kid died.
She did.
I was wondering how long she's got.
The cast of this movie has an extremely low survival chance.
Dude, when the moment the camera went on the teenage daughter, I was like, you're so dead.
You're so dead, and I mean in real life.
Yeah, we're not talking about in the movie. We're saying, like, will she even survive the release of the film, unlike the original teenager?
Grim humor is fun after nearly 30
years.
Oh,
no, it's going to be like the Fast and the Furious. We're going to have to get her sister. Holograms.
Well, too soon.
It's always too soon.
Well, one of the main cast members died after each one of the original Poltergeist.
I'm not well aware.
So it's like the Poltergeist curse, which hopefully no one dies after this one, so everyone will just shut the fuck up.
They also agreed to start doing background checks on the crew, which was supposed to help.
But in this case, Sam Rockwell plays the dad, Eric, Rosemary DeWitt, the mom, Amy, and honestly, one of the things I like best about this film was that they actually were nice people.
I liked this
family a lot.
I didn't. I thought they were all extremely self-absorbed. It's like, I don't know how you're a cohesive unit until shit hits the fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I found them quite enjoyable.
Okay, maybe I just wasn't raised in a nice house.
Why aren't you squabbling and throwing things at each other?
Yeah, I thought they were just kind of a nice parenting couple. They were funny.
Rockwell seemed to be putting in a lot of effort.
Rockwell's always trying really hard. Rockwell's just charming as fuck.
But he came across as rad dad. Like, that was...
Did he skateboards?
He absolutely does.
The twist here, as opposed to the other one, where they're moving into a newer suburb and the family's very well off, here, they're not very well off. They're kind of scrambling for money, and they're moving downwards to a suburb that is crumbling. Sort of like, you know, I guess it may be appropriate modern day, as the suburbs themselves are kind of the planned suburbs. They are now kind of ghetto, you know, the identical housing type thing. Back in the 80s, when that was, it's so new. Here, it's the other way around. There's a weird thing about electricity throughout this one, too, that I felt like they were trying to say something else with that whole bigger text, but I never quite figured it out. Like, oh, there's power lines everywhere. It's so ghetto.
It's like they had an idea for it, and then they just never did.
Yeah, they just never really...
They were trying to jam so much of the modern ghost hunting... super double quotes, science into this one. Like, it was just a huge injection of, like, Paranormal State and Ghost Hunters International and just all of those.
But all that stuff was in the original, too.
Yeah, but...
Well, I know what kind of jamming he's into, and that's just never
I think
has been.
There was, you know, because the Jared Harris is in here as the you know, the go-to guy, kind of the...
He's Zelda Rubinstein.
He's their take on the little person lady from the first...
What, Peter Dinklage is busy?
and he's, you know, he's a TV ghost hunter, and so you immediately kind of assume he's a hack, and then he comes in and he's, like, actually got some gravitas, but... For me, it really wasn't working because he was kind of a caricature of those dudes that you see on those shows.
Did you not see his pork pie?
I thought there was a missed opportunity there with setting him up as a TV guy to having him come in all confident and then fucking get that, scared off. And
yeah,
go,
that's what I thought, and I think would have been effective if they had done something along the lines of, like, he had been the first go-to guy,
right?
And then he had been like, okay, I've been bullshitting America, and you've got some real fucking problems here. Let me hook you up with these people I supposedly studied paranormal. Would have been a great, you know, way to room it out.
Because
instead, they do it the other way around, and he's a ghost whisperer, and what the fuck?
Well, yeah, it felt to me more than anything else like the same thing they were thinking with the success of The Conjuring. Hey, let's focus on that and, like, make this badasses come in who are, like, the, you know, so good at what they do in this paranormal realm, and then we can do sequels just about that character and what happens to them later.
Right.
You know? And his fedora. What happens to the hat?
I liked his Red Sox the best. honestly, on the whole, I thought that this was... I mean, while it was still trying to balance, like, oh, remember this scene from Poltergeist? Here's our version of it. Remember this scene? Here's our version of it. On the whole, I think they did a pretty decent job with that. I mean, it's gonna be hampered, of course, by... I've already seen this fucking movie, and so I know what to expect. But in some ways, it was... while maybe not as scary, kind of a fun challenge of watching each one to see what they were going to do to make it different. And on the whole, I thought they did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, it felt more like references rather than recreating scenes.
Yeah.
But I feel like they didn't put the Spielbergian touch into it. They made the family very realistic. So, like most haunted house movies, you're always like, why doesn't the family just leave? Well, they can't leave, and they explain that pretty clearly.
Well, that's the key to the original Poltergeist. Like, you can't leave because the house has got their daughter.
Right, so the house has got their daughter, and they can't afford it.
Yeah,
so
they're stuck in multiple ways.
Yeah, they do a good job with that, and they do, as far as not recreating scenes, like one of the... I never knew how much I would grow to appreciate the one thing in the original movie that drove me crazy, in which the scene where the parents are like, look at the stuff that's happening to our kids. Isn't that cool? And it's like, no, that's creepy and terrifying. Leave the house right now.
That's funny. I know this must be a total white guy thing, because I was with that family 100%. I was like, fuck out, and calling all of my friends, dude, check this shit out. This is awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, your first thing is like, oh, this is some, like, benign, weird magnetic thing, or what the fuck ever. Your first
limestone.
Like, this is probably our house is, you know,
entry
the basement is made out of corpses.
And I think that the most iconic moments from the original, they were smart enough to not make the major centerpieces here. Mm-hmm. Instead, while they were there, like the thing with the tree and the clown, they're there. They're more just more stuff along the way. And some of the most creepy moments are some of the newer things we haven't seen before. There's a shot of the little girl being just kind of yanked up the stairs that was like, Jesus Christ! Really scary moment. And there's lots of little moments like that. But I think if I have a biggest problem with this film, it's that it really feels so fucking rushed. Mm-hmm. Whereas the original felt like it was taking its time organically to get where it needed to be. All the characters felt like real people. We got a chance to know other people, not just the family. And once things start going, once it, like, starts, you know, oh, shit, we're fucked, the girl's been taken, it just, it's like, okay, it's a roller coaster ride from here out. There's no quiet moment.
It's a short fucking movie.
Yeah,
it's just
too.
A little over an hour and a half. And, there is that rushed feel to it that you're like, and I think that's, that I'm sure that was informed by people going like, well, hey, people know this story, so, you know, you need to barrel on through it. And it's like, I would have appreciated more if they, like, find a new tack, find something else to do, don't replicate the original. And, you know, there's no reason to, because it's the families, it's a different family name, it's, you know, this is... They really could have done anything with this, and instead it feels like they slapped the name on this because Sam Raimi was like, man, I want to do something with that scary clown. That was cool. Remember that? And the tree. That'd be cool, too.
Right.
Well, he already did something with the tree, and that's what I thought when I saw it. It was like, I hope Sam Raimi knows about doing shit with trees, let me tell you.
I thought about leaning over to say this to Martin, who was sitting next to me, with the moment the tree's like tapping on the glass, going over and going to the little kid, you gonna get raped.
That tree's gonna fuck your
kid. What I think is kind of shitty is like, you don't have to invite trees in. I really felt like that's kind of how that should work, but it just comes in.
Yeah, it just, it doesn't, it's not a vampire.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
It doesn't have to be invited in.
Yeah, let the right tree in.
You know what I kind of did like about this movie? I thought it was fun, is with a lot of horror movies, especially ones that are from an established franchise, they can be a little cynical. You know, they're like, well, what we're trying to do here is, if you recall from the original, like, fuck you. Fuck you. Like, this one was great. It had a lot of classic haunted house stuff. Like, the clown falls. You're like, this is going to be good. This kid's fucked.
And so it was super fun.
Yeah, people were laughing. They were jumping. It has, I mean, if you want to go in for a haunted house movie, it's going to deliver, I think.
Yeah, if you know, they hadn't made this movie 30 years ago, I'd be like, wow, this is really fresh and original and fun. And it's fun, but it's not fresh or original.
No, it's not fresh or original.
I think when you put it up against all the other ghost movies that are coming out incessantly now, this is better than a good portion of them. Many, many of them. In fact, it's not as good as The Conjuring. It's certainly not as good as the original Poltergeist. But like I said, you're kind of... It's almost like they know everybody seeing this movie has seen the original, so we're not genuinely going to try and scare you so much as make you just have fun with it, and I think that more than not, it succeeds. Like I said, it was almost disappointing that we are getting to know this family so well, and then I was a little sad that when that kind of just cuts off once all the ghost stuff starts, because that's all we get from then on. I wanted to see more of those nice moments. Like, I love the scene in the original when everything's died down and they're just in there in the middle of the night and the father and the psychic are kind of having this conversation, whispering this conversation. And then you see that beautiful sequence where the ghosts come down the stairs, which still raising the hairs in the back of my neck, just thinking about how gorgeous that moment is in the movie. This one avoids ever giving you those moments, and I think it's partially because they kind of decided to get rid of that whole part where it's like, oh no, the ghosts are fine. It's not them that's the problem. It's this other thing that's in there. And I think that's the bulk of why the original Poltergeist is so much scarier, is that other thing that was in there that this movie's like, no, just ghosts.
Yeah, that, these dummy ghosts that have to wait until families move in before they're like, oh, that light thing, let's look for it now. You know, you had, like, what, 60-plus years to do it? Like, even if you didn't have a little girl.
Well, you know, that's because families have stopped sacrificing young girls in cemeteries to let ghosts figure out how to get to heaven.
Which family has stopped sacrificing young girls?
The witch family.
You haven't been out to West Texas for a while.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, a lot of there's theories about the original being about the father being abusive to the children, and there's a reason why the mother is such an important figure in the original. And here, it felt like they were starting to do that. With the dad sort of being like, well, I don't care. I'm a kind of very hands-off father, and the mother's a writer, which, by the way, why does one parent always have to be a writer in horror movies?
Because the people who create these things are writers.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know how to write scary unless it's from my viewpoint.
So it's kind of like you could sort of look at this as like, well, maybe it's because their family is so, like, well, the dad lost the job and the mom's, like, wanting to go back to work, that all this shit blows up, that was sort of the message behind it. But I don't think they took it all that way, which I'm glad they didn't, because that would have been stupid.
One thing I did like that they did here was that whereas the first film really focused on, we're seeing things more than anything from the dad's viewpoint, more than anything, here everybody kind of gets their own chance for the camera to follow them around, especially the young boy, who, if there's a centerpiece character for this film,
it's definitely him.
And I thought one of the most interesting choices in this film is in that has to do with him and the big third act piece of going through into the other side. I was like, that was a really interesting choice.
The evolution that his character takes was an interesting one. And it was kind of the one moment where the movie did kind of get me. And so, like, I was like, bravo, that was a great choice.
Yeah, it was a good call to go there. But I, like I said, I think if there's a failing, it's generally, except for some some effective jump scares, not all that scary.
Nope. Right.
I don't know.
I was sitting next to you. Don't get too nopey.
I was laughing.
You were laughing with your shawl on top of your head there, Grandma.
There was one genuine jump scare, I think.
I was scared the most by a squirrel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, if they shaken it up, it's not a cat jumping out this time, it's a squirrel.
The drill stuff was kind of fun.
They can have rabies.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this that equals Craig T. Nelson pulling his face off. So.
No. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Craig T. Nelson. It was one of the camera guys. Because that great line, yeah. It's like, I'll be coming back. He won't be coming back.
No.
But it did have a girl losing her entire foot into a giant pile of ghost poop.
Corpse.
Ghost poop. Yeah. But dude, I'm sorry. I get scared when I just step in regular poop. Yeah. So ghost poop is a whole other. You don't know what gonna.
That's another dimension.
You're wearing shoes and you can still feel it squish between your toes. You'll never get that out from under your nails.
Potting soil with human bones in it is great fertilizer. Sorry, I know from personal experience.
It probably is.
Well, then why were all the flowers dying?
Yeah.
Let's go to final thoughts and start with Joe.
You know, it's all right. I've lived through scarier things, and they didn't involve any ghosts.
Am I going to have to drive you to the clinic again?
That was good.
They did involve way too many spirits, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know what? They were delightful girls.
I don't even know how to rate this thing. It was just kind of too much 3D. Like, unnecessary 3D. I'll give it a 3D.
The 3D is what you're talking about? 3D out of 10Ds? Is that what that is? Okay.
That's a low letter score and a low number, y'all.
But it's a great vibrator battery.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, son. 33 years old. I know what batteries.
Ashley?
Yeah, I'm starting to get the sinking suspicion that when we do these that I'm like the softball. So, it probably won't surprise you that I actually kind of liked it. I thought it was fun. It obviously is not going to be the classic that the original was, and I don't think it tries to be. I think it tries to deliver for people who are fans of that franchise, and I think that was a good decision, because if you like haunted houses, if you like ghost stories, if you like a terrible purgatory that locks hundreds of thousands of souls in there and then steals children so that they slowly start to crumble and then they have tears and their brother has to save them.
You just described what I'm doing this week.
I know. Why wouldn't you love that? I think you're really going to enjoy it. I do have to agree with JC that I'm just not a fan of 3D, so I actually think it would have been a little bit cooler without it.
That was Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joe. Sorry. Yeah, I actually
I got a J and a C.
So yeah, yes. Whatever. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
All you white dudes look alike.
Yeah, exactly. I can
Except
tell you white
JC's
people
JC's not
apart.
White,
yeah.
So sorry.
I mean, the 3D thing will always distract me because I'm just not a big fan. But I thought it was fun. And if you go into it with that spirit, I think you will too. I'm going to give this movie 7 out of 10 clown dolls. They don't still make, right? Like, they don't still make this.
Not ones that look like that.
No, they're still produced. They're just not made.
The doll was ugly enough, but the fact that it laughed like, I was like, come on, guys.
And what sense does it make to pull the nose to make it make, and why was the cord so long? I don't know.
All right, anyway. Jason?
No, I don't laugh like that, do I, for real, though?
Well, yeah.
I mean, a little.
Yeah, it's adorable when you do it. Okay. Unless you're in the body of an evil clown.
It is Thursday.
You laugh like Eli Wallach in The Good, the Bad, though.
Fair.
Jay-Z?
I do actually echo the point about the 3D. Completely unnecessary, save for one shot with a drill, and that's really
Which
about
felt
the
like
only
old
thing.
School Friday the 13th type 3D. Mm-hmm. You know, you're it, like, oh, this is goofy fun.
Yeah, 3D. And it did make the Ghost House Productions title card really cool, so that was maybe the best part of the movie. I mean, I definitely didn't hate this, but I'm kind of with Joe, and that I don't know how to rate it because, like, overall, this is a mostly unnecessary movie. Like, it's an unnecessary remake. It's the feeling that somebody said about it being rushed feels true, because it does feel like you can almost sense a producer on set going, hey guys, this is going to make X amount of money, let's just knock this thing out and put it in theaters. And I think because of that, it's easy to go into a horror movie wanting to have fun with it. I just think there are other horror movies that are way more fun. And I put a lot of value in horror movies that I can go back and revisit, and I'll probably never go back and revisit this one because it wasn't that scary. Sam Rockwell acted his heart out, and I had a lot of fun with his role, but I mean, other than that, it's kind of mostly an unnecessary movie and unnecessary remake. I would give it 4 out of 10 broken HD TVs.
Bo?
Yeah, I kind of am on JD's page here, or JC's page. Yeah, I'm not getting anybody's name right. I'm all confused because I came out of the theater and the sun's still shining. Yeah, this felt a little unnecessary. I mean, especially because the original is such a classic. You know, maybe not a genre chaser, but definitely, you know, one of the best, you know, examples of the haunted house form out there. And I mean, you know, it's Steven Spielberg directing a horror movie, essentially, and that's hard to top. You know, it felt like they had a lot of elements that you know, they use as best they can. They paid homage to the original. You know, they went a little out of their way to try to make it their own, and they don't really cross the finish line with that. There's nothing noxious about it. I had a good time. You know, it's a quick movie, so you don't really feel like it's, you know, you lost any quality time from your life there. But on the other hand, yeah, there's really no reason to revisit it. And in a couple of years, I'm sure I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, they made a remake of Poltergeist. I completely forgot. so I'm going to have to give it I'll give it a 5.5 spooky clown noses.
Sir?
I think everyone's basically said it. Yeah, it didn't need to be made, and it didn't need to have that muddy CGI in it either, which we didn't really talk about. It was a movie that existed. It wasn't scary. It wasn't... The TV just went off, okay?
Fuck it, we loved it.
I loved it. I love our ghost overlords. Yeah, it was what it was. It was inoffensive, actually, to the point where I would say this is like a good movie for, like, young kids, teenagers to go see and get spooked and make out awkwardly in the back of the movie theater if they want to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I give it 5 out of 10 awkward teenage
gropes.
There we go.
So it's funny, like, I kind of come between Ashley and the rest of you in the sense that I think that, no, it is not a movie that on its own really does stand alone as a really good film. But to me, it was kind of like when you hear a really good tribute song to something, where you're like,
you covered Poltergeist.
You probably wouldn't have captured your attention if you weren't super familiar with the original.
Hey, but bar man, you hit that high note on More Than a Feeling. We're gonna buy you a beer after this.
Which is sitting like you're going like, oh, that's cool how they did that part differently. Yeah, I still like the original better. Sure, but that's cool how they did that.
Like, I'm not gonna sleep with the lead singer, but I'll give him a handy. It was a handy.
That's all you get. Here's a wet way.
I had more fun with it than I didn't. I think a lot of that, probably 90% of why this film appealed to me was Sam Rockwell really putting his heart into it with a decent dialogue script. When there's dialogue, it's good dialogue. They get good, naturalistic dialogue with these characters. It's funny when it needs to be funny. It just ultimately didn't feel like it had a hell of a lot of heart to it. And like I said, the rushed thing, just feeling like there was someone, like JC said, standing right off screen going, come on, come on, come on, come on, tighter, tighter, faster, faster. You know, it was like, I don't want to go faster. Calm down a bit. But I think I'm going to give this 6 out of 10 headstones they moved, but not the bodies.
But you know, that'd be really expensive.
One thing this movie was distinctly missing that I didn't even think about it till after it was over.
Constantine.
No iconic theme song. No. What the fuck?
They couldn't get the rights.
Is like one of the most iconic theme songs of any horror movie.
Yeah, not only that, also my biggest gripe, the iconic line of "they're here" is delivered. It's just like, oh, hey. They're here.
Dad, they're here. Jesus Christ, I'm
Dad,
on the
phone. Pizza's here. Also, death.
That's the only thing I like about it. Music and taglines are for chumps.